Welcome to the Transformation Church podcast, where we're leading people into a transforming relationship with Jesus. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you a fresh perspective on God and His Word so you can see transformation in your own life. Enjoy the message.
If you love strawberry season. Oh, okay. Well, only a couple of you. How many of you are allergic to strawberries? Maybe we should say that. How many of you have ever been to a little place called Plant City, Florida, for the strawberry festival? Who all's been there? When we moved to Florida, we moved from Maine. I was in high school, and in Maine we had blueberries, and I didn't realize that strawberries were a big thing. I thought Floridians only grew oranges. But moving to Clearwater, I realized that strawberries are a pretty big deal in that central Florida area. In fact, I read online this week that Plant City is the winter strawberry capital of the world. They probably declared themselves that. And so I went to the strawberry festival, and unlike some other people, I came from Maine. Wasn't really a big country music fan, still not, but huge fan of some strawberry shortcake. Even bigger fan of anything that you can deep fry. So even though I grew up in the North, I became a quick adopter in the South of anything is better if you deep fry that thing. And that strawberry festival has a ton of things that are deep fried. But I do. I love strawberries. I eat strawberries. And so now what I'm doing here is I'm making everybody hungry right before we go to lunch. Right in the middle, beginning of the message, right in the middle of the service, I'm just going to make you hungry. So right now it is buy one, get one. Just in case you need to go after this. And I love to eat strawberries, but I don't really eat them healthy. I like to take a block of cream cheese, add some powdered sugar to it, a couple drops of some vanilla extract, blend that thing up, and then you dip your strawberries in that. So good. If you're lazy, just FYI, if you're a little bit lazy and you don't want to do all that, you just go and get some of the Betty Crocker whipped cream cheese frosting. You pop that thing open. It's not as good, but it will do the job. And that's what I did last night, because Jordy went out last night and got me some strawberries. And I said, listen, go down a couple aisles, actually get some extra containers, and then go down a couple aisles and bring me home some of that frosting. And so I sat last night and had almost the entire thing, and then read what the calorie intake was in that. And we're not going to talk about that this morning. But going to the grocery store and you look, and when you're going to buy your strawberries, right, you hold it up, right? You look through it, you look underneath it, and then you're like, oh, those don't look good, so I'm going to put those back down. Or these aren't ripe enough, they're still a little green, we're going to put those back. Until you pick out the best, right? You look at it, you even open it up, right, and you look at it all around, and you're like, these would be good, and you take it home. Only to find out when you come home and you open that thing up to wash them, as you begin to take the top ones out, inside the middle, there's one that's not really good. In fact, it's a little fuzzy. Has anybody ever had that happen to them? And you're like, ugh, I looked all around. I checked them, I opened it, but I didn't lift off the ones on the top to look inside. And what happens when you look inside and you see the one that's got the little bit of the fuzzy, and they brought me a napkin this morning because last service I touched that and I was like, this is gross. But you look inside and you realize that mold has gotten onto all the ones around it. And so then you have to, I'm going to have to throw all of those out. And are there really any that are left? And do I really want to chance it? I mean, I don't really need any penicillin today, so Well, you might be wondering, Andrew, what does that have to do with your message today? Well, you're about to find out. This morning, we are in week two of our series called Neighborly. For those of you that are here for your very first time, maybe you're watching online, podcast, we just want to say welcome home. I'm Andrea. My husband and I have the privilege of serving here as pastors, and we just consider it an honor that you've decided and chosen to worship with us today. We say it all the time. There's wonderful churches all throughout Tallahassee, and so we don't take it lightly that you've come to worship the Lord with us today, and so we just want to say welcome. Last week, Ryan started the series. It was the first one, and he shared with us that of all the things that we do, right, we can do a lot of good things. The thing that matters most is our love. And we looked at a description of godly love. If you haven't listen to that, if you weren't here last week, go back and listen to that, because the description of godly love that's in 1 Corinthians 13 says that love is patient and love is kind. It's not jealous or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. And so we heard and we learned about what God's love really is. And aren't you thankful for the love of God? At the end of the service, Ryan asked us this question, and you know, he did what he does. He leaned in, got kind of quiet, and did that dramatic pause. He said, "How are you doing with that?" Well, I got to tell you, I was sitting over here, and I was like, "Oh, I don't think I'm doing pretty good." The older I get, I realize that, the older I get, I'm about to eat. What I'm about to do is I'm about to eat this whole bowl of strawberries. You don't understand. They smell really good. But as he asked that question, I began to think, Lord, I'm struggling in that area. Sometimes I struggle with patience and kindness and that true love, that agape love. He shared with us that there were different kinds of love that were described in the Bible. And the one that Paul was talking about was agape, was that godly love. And so I did what you should never do, is I sat there and I said, "Lord, help me to love people." Well, the reason why I said you shouldn't say that is because it's easy, right? Scripture tells us it's easy to love the people that love us. The struggle comes with loving the people that are unlovable. And so I sat there and I was like, and then I said, "Lord, give me an opportunity." I prayed that over there, because when he leaned into that question, I was like, "Okay, Lord, give me an opportunity to share your love this week." Before I drove out of the parking lot of the church, God gave me the opportunity. See, I don't get to get on my phone very much. And so what happens, I sit in my car and the first thing I do is I scroll open my phone. Don't do it. And I scrolled up on my phone and just coming, you know, blaring back at me was just, "Oh, I gotta love, I gotta love, I gotta love, I gotta love. I don't want to love. Lord, of all the prayers that you answer so quickly, why did it have to be this one? I have prayed that I would find the winning lottery ticket on the side of the road, and Lord, I will tithe. I'll tithe double. But this is the one that he chooses to answer right away." And that's because it's so important. It matters most that we are love to others. This week, the title of the message is From the Inside Out. Open up your Bibles or your smartphones to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start there. We're going to look at some other verses, but we're really going to kind of see from there what Paul says to us about how we love others. If we know what's the most important, if we understand that, then how do we love others? How do we love those that are unlovable? And Scripture tells us that the way that we love others is through that agape, godly love. In the book of Galatians, it's a letter to a church, and Paul is addressing some things that he sees going on in the church. Obviously, it's the first century. They're all new believers. This is all brand new. And so there were Jewish believers and there were non-Jewish believers, which were called Gentiles. And so the Jewish believers had the knowledge of the law. They knew a Messiah was coming. They looked and they said, Jesus is the Messiah. I've accepted Christ. And then there were others that were not a part of the Jewish faith. And so they were called Gentiles. They didn't have the back knowledge. In fact, a lot of them probably came from more of a Greek influenced lifestyle, which was a lot of arts and all the gods, the Greek gods, all of these things. And so Paul's writing to this church because he sees an issue that he feels like he needs to address. And the issue was this: the Jewish believers struggled with the idea of free salvation. That it was a gift, that they didn't have to work for it, they didn't have to earn it, because the law was full of do this, don't do this, and when you do it exactly this way. I mean, there were so many rules. And so the Jewish believers were trying to influence others in the church to say, you can accept Christ, you can accept this free gift, but you also need to do these rules. And they were trying to put both of those together. So Paul takes four chapters to explain to them the freedom and the free gift that they have in Christ. And I understand that. I know I don't deserve the free gift of salvation that Christ gave to me. And I do want to live a life worthy of the price that he paid. But I know that I can never live a good enough life for the price that he paid. And so as Paul is writing this, he begins to talk about the freedoms that they have in Christ. And when we get to chapter 5, he starts to outline something because he realizes the reason why, and this is important, the reason why they were trying to bring in these rules is because they were trying to control the behaviors. They saw the outward behaviors and they're like, but if they do this, then they won't do that. And Paul begins to tell them, listen, these outward behaviors are an inward problem. And so in chapter 5, he says this. Let's look at verse 13. He said, for you have been called to live in freedom. This jumped off the page at me. Listen, I don't know if you need to hear this today, but you have been called to live in freedom. We are no longer bound, but we are free. He says, don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. He's going right to the heart of the issue of why they're trying to fix this. He's saying, don't use that freedom. Don't let it be a license to sin. But instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Agape. And you're supposed to live in the freedom, but instead of using it to satisfy your sinful nature, use it to serve one another in agape. Verse 14 says, the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. This verse that, you know, I love this verse, love your neighbor as yourself, because we do love ourselves. As much as we try to say that we don't love ourselves, we do love us. We don't want us to get hurt. I remember growing up in Maine, my dad was a pastor, and he would invite this one speaker. We loved him. He was hilarious. He was wonderful. But he explained it this way. He said, have you ever had a hammer in your hand? And as you're building something, instead of hitting the nail, you hit your thumb. Has anybody ever done that before? Okay, I haven't. Because even though I can look at something and be like, it's a little crooked. I don't need a level. Y'all, I don't need a level. I can tell you it's a millimeter off. It's not centered, but you go a little bit this way. But the problem is I don't want to hang it up with a level. So I just keep putting holes in the wall until it's level. So because of that, Ryan's like, babe, I got you. You just stand back here and you tell me where you want it. So I've never hit my thumb with a hammer. But what he was saying was, he was like, if you are aiming for the nail and you hit your thumb, do you start yelling at your thumb? Do you start yelling at it saying, you got in the way? Here you go again, doing the same thing. Can't you just stay out of the way? No, we're like, oh, and we kiss it and we're like, oh, it hurts. Oh, we're just, because we love us. We don't want us to hurt. And Paul is saying here, and it's from Deuteronomy, and Jesus mentions it, love your neighbor like you love yourself. Warren Wiersbe, he's a wonderful commentary. He writes commentaries, and they're the B series. If you're ever looking at something, he was a pastor, and so he wrote it in very plain language. Ryan and I probably have the entire set of these. But he says this about this verse of scripture. I love this. Listen to this. The amazing thing about love is that it takes the place of all the laws God ever gave. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself solves every problem in human relations. Think about that. Every marital problem, every problem with your child, every problem with your parent, every problem with your coworker. This one phrase solves them all. If you love people because you love Christ, you won't steal from them, lie about them, envy them, or try in any way to hurt them. What a powerful statement. Love your neighbor, that agape love. Don't fulfill the desires of your sinful nature, but allow the Lord to produce in you a godly love. Galatians 5:16, we go on and Paul says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So we have a sinful nature, right? We have our way. We have the selfishness. And Paul is saying here, in order to get rid of that, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So these two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions because of this war that's going on inside of us. Understanding this, understanding that your sinful nature is still there. But those of us that have accepted Christ as our Savior, we also have the Holy Spirit. And inside of us, there's at times a war going on. Should I love or should I not love? Should I be kind or should I not be kind? It's this war inside of us. I'm so very thankful that Paul was real about this. Because in those days, not a lot of the religious leaders were real. See, Paul addresses and he says, and you can read it in verses 19 through 21, he tells you what the sinful nature produces. That's going to be your immorality, your jealousy, your outbursts of anger, gossip, revenge, selfishness. I mean, it's not good. He explains what the sinful nature produces. And in verse 22, he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. Agape. The word that was described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is produced by the Holy Spirit. We strive to love. We strive to love others. To love our spouse, to love our friends, to love our parents, to love the unlovable. We strive for it. But until we realize that it is nothing that we can produce within ourselves, but it is only the product, it is only the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Re-enter the strawberries. So pretty, right? They look so good on the outside. But there's one inside that's so nasty, it has contaminated all the others that it's touching. And you can't see it from the outside until you look in. We can look on the outside like we love others. But when you look in, no. And everything it touches is inedible. Everything it touches is contaminated. Jesus knew this in Matthew 23. Read it this week. He calls out the religious leaders. See, like I said, I love that Paul was plain about this. He shared his inner struggles, his inner war that he has. He said, the one thing I want to do, I don't do. And the thing I know I shouldn't do, I do. I love the realness of Paul. Because in Scripture, in this time, in this day, there were a lot of religious leaders that on the outside, they looked like they had it all together. But on the inside, they weren't. Jesus looked at the religious leaders in Matthew 23 and he said, on the outside, you look like a clean cup, but on the inside, you're dirty. He said, on the outside, you look like this beautiful whitewashed tomb that's been painted and looks beautiful, but inside, you're full of dead men's bones. When will we stop striving that on the outside we look okay, but on the inside we are so far from the love of God? And sometimes, and listen, friends, I get it. Sometimes we think that we produce that fruit for us. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience. Holy Spirit, produce that in me. I want to have some joy. Holy Spirit, produce that in me. Help me with that, Lord. Do you know the tree doesn't eat its own fruit? The fruit isn't for the tree. It's for the people that are passing by. And for us to understand that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in us, it is not for us, but it is agape love fruit for others. We need to understand that we can't produce this fruit. But true, real love, the agape love, it only comes from a surrendered heart. Surrender, it's an easy word to say. Real tough word to act out, to live out. I would love to tell you that living a Christ-centered life is easy. It's not. It's a war inside of us. At times we struggle with our old responses and our old reactions. Listen, y'all, I got saved when I was 5 years old. What did I had to repent for stealing the Garfield eraser from my girlfriend? Because I loved Garfield. And why didn't my mom buy me the Garfield eraser? So I just took hers. 5 years old, what did I have to really ask forgiveness for? But it doesn't matter. I was born into a sinful, fleshly, fallen nature. And so, because of that, I can easily revert back to that. But if I surrender my will and my wants, my words, if I surrender it to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to produce agape in me, others' lives will be changed. So what do we surrender? I'm glad you asked. Because this is how we love. We learned last week that it matters the most. God is love. Everything we do has to be out of an outflow of love. So how do we do it? We surrender. We lay down. We surrender our expectation of others. In order to love other people, we have to stop expecting perfect behavior out of them. See, we can't expect perfect behavior from imperfect people. I remember I was in prayer one time and the Holy Spirit said, stop expecting Christ-like behavior from non-Christians. Because see, friends, I can barely expect it out of myself. Imperfections, imperfect people. How do we do that? Listen, how do you stop expecting? Because you want people to live holy lives. We want our kids to make right decisions. We want our spouses to make right decisions. We want our bosses to be full of integrity. So what do we do when they don't meet that expectation? Romans 12:3 tells us this. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, this is Paul talking. He says, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. The way we can surrender our expectations of others is to remember who we are. Remind ourselves where we came from. Remind ourselves the decisions we've made. Now, listen, this next one about surrender, I didn't know how else to say it. And when I tell you, like, I kept erasing it and trying to write a different way and erasing it and trying to write a different way. And so this was the point that I came up with. Are you ready? We need to surrender the Oscar for the best supporting actor in a motion picture. I didn't know how else to say it. Because see, the Pharisees, Christ called them hypocrites. And that word hypocrite is where we get our word actor. See, what an actor does is an actor reads the script and he pretends to be that person. We need to surrender the Oscar for the best supporting actor in this motion picture called Love and People. Because maybe on the outside, we're showing the love, but it's just an act. And on the inside, there's so much disdain for that person. There's so much anger and resentment and unforgiveness for that person. There's so much judgment for their actions. Maybe they didn't do it to us, but we saw them do it. And on the outside, God says we're supposed to love them. So I love you on the outside, but on the inside, it's just an act. Oh, y'all. I don't want to win the Oscar. I don't want to read the script and pretend to be a believer, to pretend to be a Christ follower. About 20 years ago, I read this verse of scripture in the New Living Translation, and it marked me. It changed me. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, Paul says this, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Pretend. That word in the Greek, hypocrite. Don't just pretend. Don't play the part of the Christ follower that loves. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Don't hate the people. Hate what is wrong. Hold tight to what is good. And love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Don't make it an act. Let it be real. I'm gonna stop right there. Because I feel like there's somebody in this room, you've been hurt so deeply that you don't know how to love the person that's standing in front of you. You have played the part. You have pretended, but inside, it's like this bowl. On the outside, you've played a good part, but on the inside, you're dying. On the inside, it's contaminating all the other fruit that you're trying to produce. I believe today, you can be free from that. Because it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Paul told us in Galatians chapter 5, we're supposed to live in freedom. Don't be bound by that anymore. You might be saying, well, okay, well, Andrea, how do I stop pretending? How do I genuinely love someone? The last one is this. We surrender our perspective of others and we begin to pray for his. That person that is in front of you, that person that you struggle, maybe they've even passed on. Maybe it's a parent that rejected you or hurt you. Maybe you never met your parent that left you and you're struggling with that. The way we begin a genuine love for others is we ask God to see them through his eyes and not our own. Because we see the hurt, we see the disappointment, and we see the rejection. He sees compassion. He sees brokenness. He looks at them with love. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He can't see anything but love because he is love. It is an unconditional love that it doesn't matter what we do, he still loves us. And so, if you're struggling with that love, you've got to view that person through the eyes of God. Because I promise you, listen, when you begin to pray for God's perspective for them, it all changes. The amount, I can't explain it, but I can tell you what I feel. The amount of compassion that is in my heart for the person that hurt me or that is unlovable, that's a little prickly sometimes. Oh, friend, it's so different. You press into it. You don't start to avoid it. You don't walk the other way down the hallway of the office. You start to meet them where they're at. How do you love others? You surrender. You surrender your expectations. You surrender the Oscar. You surrender your view for his. This morning, as we close in prayer, I want you to know that this week, we want to give an opportunity. Remember how I prayed last week that God would give me an opportunity? I was like, well, Lord, if I had to have that opportunity, they all have to have one. We want to give you an opportunity this week to begin to pray. We know we're going to come together here on Wednesday night. Our groups are canceled for the week, spring break, and they already know that, but instead, we're all going to meet in here. We have a little worship. We're going to pray for our Easter services. Church, we believe that this campus will be full 3 times. And we don't want it to just be full because we want a good number. We want people that are stuck and that are lost to find the freedom that we have. And this Wednesday night, we want to give you that opportunity. And this is what we're going to ask you to begin to pray, is that God will place someone on your heart that is the closest to you, but the furthest from God. And on Wednesday night, we want to come together and we want to pray. We want to pray for those people that are in your lives that are very close to you, but they're very, very far from God. Because we believe that God can go before us, can give us favor, can give us courage to invite them to transformation. Not a church, not a building, but the one that transforms our lives. So this coming week, why don't you do that? If you don't know how to pray, maybe you're new to the Christian faith, or you're still like, I don't know anything about this, and you don't know how to pray, don't let that keep you from coming. The disciples didn't know how to pray. Jesus had to teach them. None of us know inherently. It's something we're taught. And we'd love to teach you and share with you ways to pray for your lost loved ones, for your lost friends, for those that are so close to you, but so far from God.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's message, be sure to share it with your friends and tag us at TransformTLH. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to seeing your face in the place someday. Have a great week.